Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, on yesterday morning's programme, we brought you the news that members of the public in Clane had been recently reporting 9 missing ring boys from the pathway along the River Liffey. Kildare County Council placed an order and, as I understand it, did replace those ring boys yesterday, but are appealing to residents in Clane to assist in maintaining the life-saving equipment without further interference. That was in conjunction with another story that we told you about, that on Monday afternoon the cabinet of the AED located at the front of the credit union on Newbridge's Main Street was broken. Posting on Facebook, the Newbridge community first responders said that on Garda Síochána have been notified and CCTV will be reviewed. The defibrillator is now out of action and the nearest public access AED is on the Bank of Ireland wall at on Charlotte Street or at Bergen's Chemist on the Main Street. Well, Labour Senator Mark Wall is with us on the line now. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Owen.
You were tuned in to the programme yesterday and you were listening to us raising this issue. You got in touch with us after that and kind of highlighted that you've been raising this in the Shannon. What exactly is going on here and what are you calling for?
Well, what I call, I listened in yesterday and I listened to Councillor McAvoy and indeed the Newbridge First Responders and what they were saying on it. This is something I've been talking to you before on, and it's something I've been raising in the Shannon on a number of occasions. And what we're looking for is the enactment of the Life Saving Equipment Bill, which was originally introduced by Fianna Fáil senators. It has now gone through committee stage in the Shannon. And what that bill would actually do was create a standalone offence for those that go out and criminally damage life-saving equipment, such as life buoys and indeed defibrillators. It's all too common now, Owen, that we're hearing these stories. You know, in the last couple of months, there's been damage to the defibrillators in Round Towers GA Club, to my own club, Castle Mitchell GA in Athy, and also to a neighbouring club in St. Joseph's. They were actually stolen. So that is the problem that we have here. And those people that are damaging and vandalising these life-saving equipments do not know the hour that themselves or their families will need these life-saving equipments. And that's why we're looking for this bill to be enacted, to emphasise the importance of these life-saving equipments. And you have people like the Newbridge First Responders, volunteers in their community doing some great work, and yet there's people who are going out and wantonly vandalising their equipment. It's just not on, and something needs to happen quickly on it.
Yeah, and we've been talking to various different people in nearly every town and village around Kildare, and those who get the defibrillators installed in the locations work very hard to get them. You know, they're not easy to come by. They can cost quite a lot of money to get installed, and the least you'd expect is that they're not broken.
Yeah, and these are voluntary groups who do great work, as you say, and I agree with you on throughout our communities. They're actually going out fundraising. They're out shaking cans. They're on the corner selling tickets in order to get these defibrillators. And there's some great sponsorship. Nearly every GAA club, nearly every sports club in Kildare now have one, which is very important. And all our towns through our community responders have them as well, which is excellent. And there's a great network of that happening. But, you know, as I say, the problem here, and as I said yesterday in the Shannon, nobody knows the hour that they're going to need this defibrillator or that life buoy. And that's the time that when you turn around and look for it, it's either damaged or it's gone. Then you know that you're in trouble. And unfortunately, that has happened in the past. And the way it's happened and the way the stories are coming in or continuing to come in, it may happen again in the future. So communities need to come together. You know, as Councillor McAvoy said yesterday, the community of Clane have come together. They've got their life buoys replaced by Kildare County Council. That can't continue. It's not an infinite resource. But what we really need to see here is that those that are doing this vandalism being brought to justice. And this bill would do something in that. It would create that standalone offence. And, you know, just to also highlight the importance of these life-saving equipments.
Where are we then with that bill, Mark? Because I saw somewhere, does it go back as far as 2017, really, that this has been mooted?
Yeah, it was first introduced in 2017. So yesterday I spoke to the leader of the Shannon. I also spoke to the Fianna Fáil Senator, Robbie Gallagher, who was one of the people behind it. So it's with government at the moment. They're going through it with the department in relation to getting the detail right. Now, that's been going on too long. What came out of yesterday is that they would write it to the department to encourage the department to get this back before. So it needs to come back for final stages in the Shannon and then obviously go to the Dáil to be completed and to be enacted. And that's what we're calling for here. Owen, and that's what needs to happen. And there's a chorus of calls from people. You know, when I raised this yesterday, a number of senators came up to me giving examples right throughout the country of what's happening in their local communities and this willful damage of actual life-saving equipment. It just has got to stop, and that was the message that they wanted to get out yesterday and the message I want to get out this morning and Councillor McAvoy wanted to get out yesterday. It just has to stop.
Brendan in Talla has got in touch with us to say survival rates from cardiac arrest are low enough, as I well know. Without idiots doing damage like that, there should be serious charges for anyone caught at damaging AEDs. Also, Pauline got in touch to say that it's disgraceful that anyone would go out of their way to break a life-saving equipment off the face of a wall, regardless of where it is. So thanks for both of those messages. We'll keep on top of that, Mark, and as soon as you get any more information, bring it to us, because I think it's absolutely ludicrous what's happened here in Clane, in Kildare Town, in Castle Mitchell, in Newbridge, as you're saying. And I can't for the life of me understand why people will go out of their way to take ring buoys from the side of a river or break AEDs off walls. It just doesn't make any sense. Before I let you go, there was an important step forward for those on an assessment of need waiting list, Mark. There was some great, I suppose, interactions and videos online from the Dáil yesterday.
Yeah, there was. Oh, this is something, I've been on your show about before. In March, I had a commencement matter debate with Minister Rabbit in relation to assessment of needs and the waiting list there. And on that particular day, Minister Rabbit has told us that there was 2,665 families in CHO7, which is our own area here, our own HSC area, waiting on an assessment of need. It's something I and other public reps get constant contact from families who are worried about assessment of need and who are on long waiting lists. So the Labour Party have used, for the third time, their private member bill to bring forward a motion yesterday in relation to assessment of need and disability services. And in conversations, as you say, yesterday with Minister Rabbit, she came out to say that she's creating six regional centres where assessment of needs will be catered for. But the most important point, she said, if those are not up and running by the 1st of August of this year, then she will look to the private service in order to pay for these assessment of needs through the private service. And that has to happen on, like, I'm dealing with families who are on assessment of need waiting list for years now, and they just don't know where to go. They're at their wit's end in relation to this. So yesterday was a very important day. You'll be familiar with Mark and particularly Cara Darmody. They were with us yesterday, and Cara's a great advocate for autism in this country, and she was very forthright in what she said in relation to her own two brothers yesterday. But in fairness to Minister Rabbit, she's come along with this, and it shows what politics can do when people work together. And now we have a date that these assessment of needs will be up and running. If they're not going to be up and running, then there will be budgetary implications in relation to that, and the government are going to seek private help in order to reduce these lists, which simply have to happen on.
Okay, on that note, Labour Senator Mark Wall, thanks for joining us, Mark, and good morning to you on those issues. Let's go then to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, because I'm joined on the line now by Fine Gael Councillor Kevin Duffy, who's been raising issues down around Monastrevin with Kildare County Council. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Owen.
You first of all wanted the council to remove two obsolete signs on the approach to Monastrevin. Where exactly are these, and what's the issue with them?
Yeah, there's two quite significantly large signs. One is on the R445, which is the Kildare Road in approach to Monastrevin. And the sign is there for the M7 motorway when it was being constructed. And obviously it's no longer required. It's been there probably 20 odd years on, and it's a bit of a nuisance and also an environmental impact having it out in the countryside. And the second one is a similar one, which is the National Development Plan, again nearly 20 years old, a major sign on the Ratangan Road, the R414, in relation to the Monastrevin sewerage scheme upgrade, which is long and truly finished, and that sign had never been removed. And again, just they're in rural areas on the side of the road. They don't need to be there. There's no purpose anymore, and I think it's important that they're taken down and returned to a rural countryside.
Okay, you also wanted the council to provide a drawing and time frame for the completion of the approved low-cost accident scheme at Ballykelly Cross.
Yeah, so Ballykelly Cross, which is on the Ratangan Road again, the R414. There's a crescent there at the crossroads, and you have a very blind access onto that crossroads if you're coming either from Ballykelly or Clondown, the Kildare side. And we applied for funding through the Low Cost Accident Scheme last year and were successful with the NTA, which will be additional signage, road markings, and I'm hoping some works around the hedges there with the farmers to make better visibility and sight lines for that crossing. The drawing hasn't been done yet, but the council are committing that that project is going to move ahead this year and hopefully will get done later in the year. And we'll work with both the locals, farmers there to hopefully get a good outcome for Ballykelly Cross.
Now, there are new pedestrian crossing lights, as we know, at New Lodge Cross and Cahill's Cross in Monastrevin, but as I understand it, they haven't been turned on yet. Have we any update on that?
Yeah, looking positive news there. We've got the first set of lights turned on the Dublin Road, the R445. There's two sets of pedestrian crossings at New Lodge Cross. These were all planned as part of the new St. Paul's Secondary School, which is due to open in September, a brand new 850-pupil secondary school in Monastrevin, which is well overdue and highly welcomed. The first set, which is on the Dublin Road, they were turned on, I think, last Friday on, which was fantastic. And I've had really positive feedback, a few little teething issues, but generally some of the businesses in the area and residents have said they've never seen so many people cross the road and use the lights. And it's really providing safe connectivity in the town. The second set of lights, which is Cahill's Cross, is at the junction with the Nerney Road and the Atai Road. And that's where the new entrance to the secondary school is. There's some final works to happen there with the entrance to the new school and the footpaths and road before them lights will be turned on. But we're, again, hopeful that will happen in another month or so when them works are finished off around the school in preparation for the start of the new secondary school period in the end of August.
Right, you had another question in then, and this was in relation to Moore Abbey Woods, and there was a funded permeability connection, I believe, there to Moore Abbey Woods. Is there any update on that?
Yeah, so this is through the government's Outdoor Recreation Infrastructure Scheme. Again, we were very successful in getting funding to. We have an amazing amenity here in Monastrevin in Moore Abbey Woods, but up until recently, you would have had to driven up to access the woods to walk around us. And we approached this in terms of trying to get that pedestrian connection up so people could walk from the town into the woods. And working in collaboration with Quilsha, Quilsha undertook a programme of works to extend a trail within the woods, the boundary at the cemetery. And then Kildare County Council got funding to do the footpath outside the boundary down into the town and past the cemetery. So them works are finally been designed and they're going to tender over the next 4 odd weeks. And then the works will hopefully happen later in the summer, which will be wonderful for when we have events like Bluebells in Moore Abbey, which is run by Tidy Towns. We also have a lovely new coffee shop up in the woods. And this pedestrian access allows people to walk up with their kids and children, you know, dogs to, you know, access the woods and enjoy that wonderful amenity we have here in the community.
Good stuff. That's Fine Gael, councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Kevin Duffy, with those at local issues. Thanks for joining us, Kevin, and good morning to you. And just while we're in the area of Monastrevin and Rathangan, a reminder that road resurfacing works are being carried out on the R414 Mount Rice to Tullylust between Rathangan and Monastrevin today. A road closure is in place for the duration of the day. Diversion routes are also in place and are clearly signposted. Going then up here to the Nace area and out on the Blessington Road, we were contacted by some residents in the Oak Glade estate out on the Blessington Road. They're concerned that a beech hedge that they've been looking after for about 20 years could be destroyed as part of construction works there. Yesterday evening I went down and met Steve Dooley from the Oak Glade Residents Association to get a better idea about what their concerns are.
These hedges have been part of the estate now for approximately 22 years, and the residents have actually looked after and managed and maintained these hedges for the duration of that period. Now, with the new Stonehaven estate coming across the road, there is talk about upgrading the junction between the Oakglade Estate and the Blessington Road and the Stonehaven Estate. And what that will involve will mean the destruction and the removal of a significant section of our hedge, our mature beech hedge, and a few trees. I mean, once we found this out, because we were never informed formally of this situation, but one of the committee members spoke with Ballymore and we got an update of what the new proposals were for the junction, and we were absolutely horrified and appalled of their intention to remove large sections of a mature beech hedge and a few trees. We believe it's totally unwarranted, unnecessary, as there is a cycleway in place already.
Okay, so just looking at it here then from where we're standing, you mentioned that the beech hedges would have been planted about 22 years ago, taking quite a while to get to the stage that they're at now, and the cost for maintaining these hedges is borne by the Residents Association. Also, it adds to the privacy and the landscape of this estate.
Yeah, it most certainly does. I mean, it's been a voluntary contribution from the majority of Oakglade residents over the last 20 years that has enabled us to keep the estate looking as well as it does. This entrance actually defines the Oakglade estate, and we were just absolutely incensed that in this today's climate, where environmental protection of hedgerows and woodlands is of paramount importance, that the council would undertake the removal and destruction of such a beautiful mature hedge.
Now, since you've come together as an association and raised this issue and raised it with KFM as well, I understand that there has been developments recently in that maybe things are on hold for the moment.
Yes, I mean, the original plan was to actually extend the roadway to have three lanes, one of them being filter, have two separate cycle lanes on both sides of the road and two separate footpaths. But now, through at the 11th hour, and through the help of the Residents Association and other concerned residents, we've managed to actually get a stop, on the current plans. And it looks like that Ballymore will agree to a new plan that's going to be rolled out over the next several weeks. This plan, of course, will be monitored by Kildare County Council and reviewed from a health and road safety perspective. I don't think the battle is over on this one, but we have got a stay of execution, and at the moment the hedges, it looks like, are going to be retained while they finish off the development of the Oakglade Stonehaven Junction.
Yeah, and that new plan then, just finally, the devil will be in the detail there. I know you haven't seen it and we'll have to find out what's entailed in that plan, but you're adamant and other residents are adamant that these hedges here need to stay.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're not going to lay down on it. This is not over by half. We also, of course, had the issue with the poplar trees across the road. Unfortunately, we lost that battle. So it's no surprise that we're here again renegotiating the retention of this beautiful beech hedge and mature trees. Hopefully the council in the future will continue to engage with us in a meaningful manner, and we can find a peaceful resolution to everything that's gone on and retain these mature hedges.
Yeah, that's Steve Dooley from the Oakglade Residents Association in Naas. We had another message in from a resident there saying that we're strongly opposed to the destruction of the beech hedging, which has been maintained for the past 20 years. It's an integral part of our estate, aesthetically pleasing for walkers out on the Blessington Road, and also for us residents, adding a little privacy from the traffic. Well, Bill Clear, Social Democrats councillor, and Fine Gael councillor Evie Salmon have both been in touch with us to say that the Kildare County Council's roads planning section has agreed to revised construction details, which allows for the retention of the hedging on both sides of the Oakglade Estate entrance, subject to the revised design being examined under the Road Safety Audit Stage 2 and the completed works being examined under the Audit Stage 3. It should be noted, it says here, that three existing trees will have to be removed to enable the works to be carried out, which it is our understanding has been agreed with the Oaklade Residents Association. So that's the latest that we have on that. As I said yesterday as well, when I was talking to Steve, we had word that it had been put on hold, or a stop had been put in place on that. So that's the latest that we have in relation to it. So thanks to Steve for doing that interview yesterday, and thanks to Bill Clear and to Evie Salmon for bringing us right up to date.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, we have to say a happy 50th birthday to Yvonne Kay in Newbridge. Hope you have a lovely day from all your daughters and husband Brian, as well as Marie Heavey in Cowpasture, Monastrevin. So happy birthday to you, Yvonne Kay. And there was another one in here that says, I would like to wish all the best for the Leaving Cert class of 2023 from the Curra Community College as they graduate tonight. And that comes in from Elaine. Best of luck to all of those students graduating from the Curra Community College, and best wishes to you for whatever you wish to go on and do next year. Well, as one cohort of students leave secondary school, what about those that are going into secondary school next year? And that's what Wicklow TD Jennifer Whitmore is with us on the line to discuss this morning. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
You were calling on the Department of Education for clarity here around basically accommodation for students wanting to go into Blessington Community College. And as we know, a lot of students from Kildare would cross over the border to go to second level school in Blessington. What's the latest there?
Yeah, so, you know, I think everyone was very relieved when the, you know, the permanent build was approved for the 1,000 students in Blessington Community College recently, because it is absolutely needed. It is a much growing school, and it does need that additional capacity. But alongside the issue for the permanent build, there is actually the more immediate issue, and that relates to where the children, the first year students, will be coming in, where they will be accommodated in September. Now, initially, the department had said that actually what would happen was that the ETB themselves were given permission to, I suppose, demolish or refurbish existing porta cabins on site to make provision for an additional 6 rooms for the new intake of students in September. That apparently has changed now. It was mentioned at the last ETB meeting, the KWETB meeting last week, where my Social Democrat colleague Nuala, Councillor Colleen, raised it, and she was told at that time that actually the department was now going to put modular bills in instead of, you know, the porta cabins. They're actually going to put a two-storey modular build in, and that will be for the students that are coming in September. The difficulty is there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of information on it. We have no idea of the timelines, you know, and I suppose this is just causing concern for the students, the parents, and indeed for the school itself. We're just about to finish up for the summer. The students are getting ready to take their holidays. And really, we don't know, and there's no guarantees that that will be in place for, actually, it's the end of August it's needed to be in place for. So I've written to the Department of Education to get a timeline, you know, really to highlight the concerns and the frustrations and the anxiety it's causing in students, you know, that they need to give that timeline to everybody so that people can be assured that those places will be available.
Yeah, it doesn't help going into the summer as well. You know, clarity would have been ideal here before the summer recess, but, you know, over the course now of the next number of months, it's going to be an anxious wait for parents and students.
It really is. And look, I don't know, you know, I've 4 children myself. I know that they, you know, children nowadays have such anxiety levels and stress levels and you know, issues that are impacting them anyway. And I think this is just an unavoidable concern. When children are moving from 6th class to first year, it is a huge transition. They're really excited and they're really nervous. And, you know, they're wondering if they're going to be in with their friends. They're wondering what classes they're going to be in, you know, to get the uniform. Oh, there's an awful lot of preparatory work that happens by parents and students over the summer period. And, you know, this is just leading to that a bit more anxiety, actually a lot more anxiety for those students coming in. And I think it's unnecessary. My expectation and my hope is that the accommodation will be in place. You know, the department tend to, you know, get these things in place in time. But there is always that period of anxiety. And I think it's unavoidable and it shouldn't happen. And so that's why I really would like the Department of Education to come out now and put that timeline out there for parents and let them know exactly what's happening, when it's going to happen.
Okay.
Just give them those assurances.
Indeed, and I mentioned it as well earlier in the week that this is not just happening in one or two schools, because a lot of parents have been in touch with us to say that they're looking for clarity, because if they find out closer to when school starts back, then it's going to be very hard to get a place for their child in another school. And obviously Blessington, because of its location right on the border of Kildare and Wicklow, Jennifer, there was that need for it to be extended, which is welcome, but you have students coming from all over to try and get into Blessington.
Absolutely. You know, like we Social Democrats local area representative over there, Deirdre McCormick, is getting contact from parents all over the place about this issue, you know, that they're worried, and I'm working really closely with her to try address it. But as I said, it's unnecessary. You know, these things, I would imagine that there is somewhere where there is a timetable set out and someone knows that it's going to be in place. But we just want that person in the department to let everyone else know that they're confident it's going to be in place as well. And I think it's really important that it happened. I've seen this happen so many times. It happens all over County Wicklow. I would imagine it happens all over County Kildare as well. I've had, you know, big discussions with my party colleague Catherine Murphy in relation to this issue. You know, our two counties are counties where we have a huge amount of development. We don't see the infrastructure keeping a pace with it, and because of that we're not seeing the timely provision of key infrastructure like schools, and it's up to parents and communities to campaign for them. Then when they're granted, it's up to parents and communities to fight to get timelines, to fight to get them done in time. And it's just an awful lot of stress, an awful lot of wasted energy, you know, and these kinds of infrastructure bills, particularly for counties like Wicklow and Kildare, where we are seeing a lot of growth, you know, they should just happen automatically. It shouldn't be up to communities to consistently fight for this kind of infrastructure. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I know, you know, as I said, I do speak to Catherine Murphy about this regularly. It's a real bugbear for both of us. You know, it's something that we are continually raising in the Dáil as well in relation to this issue.
All right. Social Democrats TD for Wicklow, Jennifer Whitmore, thanks for joining us and giving us that update on Blessington Community College. And again, if you're affected by this, doesn't matter where in the county you are, if you're worried about getting your child into school, be it primary or secondary school, let us know and we'll see what we can do on it. 0833 97 97 97. Let's go from the Kildare Wicklow border up to the Kildare Meath border, because I'm joined now by Councillor Joe Fox, Fine Gael councillor based in Summerhill. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to your listeners.
Good news in Enfield, Joe, because the Enfield Community Working Hub was officially opened yesterday. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right. Minister Heather Humphreys was down yesterday, and we opened the Enfield Community Working Hub and Community Facility. It's located on the main street in Enfield, in the old ESB building. You know, we've been lobbying for a long time to get this building back into use, and the Enfield Development Group too have done excellent work on lobbying us as public reps. And so Minister Humphreys was down today with this funding being allocated of 1.5 million to the project, and it was great to see it open yesterday. It'll be a working hub, enterprise hub, for people who can use workstations. There's facilities for meetings and all that. There's also part of it has been refurbished to be used as a community centre for community use as well. So it'll be an excellent addition to the village.
What'll the process be, Joe, if anybody wants to use it? How do you get in touch and kind of book a place in?
You just get in touch with the county council, and there will be somebody there. There will be a person there to facilitate that as well. But just get in touch with the council if you want to use it, and it'll be up and running at the moment. So, and any community groups that want to use the other facilities, it's up and ready as well. I mean, up to now, the new community school, the Enfield Community College, were using part of the site. Now, they will be moving out in September to their temporary accommodation. Their building is going to tender at the moment, but there will be a park and ride then facilitated at in the site as well. So that will facilitate people who want to use the hub, and they can park their car there and whatever. So, I mean, that's... Or either you can use the park and ride to use the public transport to go further afield.
Okay, good stuff there. The Enfield Community Working Hub officially opened yesterday. Before I let you go, Joe, just to maybe go back to the issue we were speaking to Jennifer Whitmore about there in terms of school places in Blessington. Is that an issue in Enfield where, you know, school places are hard to come by? I know they recently opened up.
It would have been an issue before. I mean, the Enfield Community College now is up and running this nearly 3 years now. And it has... It has plenty of spaces. It's going to tender in temporary accommodation at the moment, but it's going to tender now, so the new school should be built within the next 2 years. So there's plenty of rooms. We also have an excellent school in Longwood, which is not far away. So, I mean, there's not a problem in Enfield at the moment. We have a brand new primary school as well, but the community college now is well able to cater for the numbers in the area. It's the area takes in a lot of South Mead and sort of North Kildare, Gilshan Row, and back into Bacon's Town, back as far as Summer Hill. So, I mean, it's not an issue here at the moment anyway, and hopefully when the school is up and when the new building is built, it'll further enhance the whole area. Just as an aside, Edward Humphreys, we opened a new theatre in Trim as well yesterday, $9 million development. And the old Church of Ireland in Bellivor was refurbished as well by council. There's been $28 million has been allocated under the Rural Development Fund for County Meath since 2020, so in the last 2.5 years. So there's plenty of things going on in rural Ireland, particularly in this South Meath area.
Okay, thanks indeed for bringing us up to date on that. That is Fine Gael councillor based in Summerhill, Joe Fox. And as he says, anybody in the Enfield area or indeed North Kildare around Kilcock, Kilshan Row, etc., that wants to get in touch with the county council and book in to get involved with that Enfield Community Working Hub, you can do so through local councillors or the county council itself. A couple more messages that have come in to us, and May is unhappy. She says that nothing is right in this country. Health, housing, schools and a lot more. This did not happen overnight and the government has done nothing to stop it getting so bad, according to May. Anne Fitzpatrick was in touch to say the KFM made her day by playing a couple of songs from Tina Turner. Glad to hear that. Of course, it is quite sad. Tina Turner passing away at the age of 83 in her home in Zurich in Switzerland. Teresa also in touch to say so sad. Rest in peace, Tina Turner. And there was another request in here over on the WhatsApp. Yes, please wish Ben Foley from Barrow House all the best in his leaving cert. Also, Ryan Foley in Castle Dermot. The best of luck, boys. That comes in from Nanny Trisha.